what's going on. Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Tes. We will begin in Daf Ayin Ches Amid Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Niskavon Laharig Esa Behema for Haragas Adam. If there was an intention to kill an animal, and instead of killing an animal, the person killed a human being. Or Laivik Kachavim, there was an intention to kill an Aivik Kachavim for Haragas Yisrael. Instead of killing the Ritzach ended up killing a Yisrael. Or there was Nefalim for Harig is Ben Kayama. There was an intent to kill a Nefal, for which there is no Chiv Misa, and he ended up killing a Ben Kayama. And all these cases tells us the Tanakama Potter, the Ritzach is not Chayiv Misa. Rashi explains, and the reason is because in all these cases there was no proper hasra, and we know that in order for somebody to be chayiv misa, there has to be a proper hasra. That's how Rashi explains the din of the Mishnah of the Tanakama. There are other Rishonim that explain that the reason in all these cases is because all these acts are not acts for which there is a, it's not considered a maaser ritzicha. In order for somebody to be chayiv misa, you have to have what's known as a maaser ritzicha, and all of these situations fail to fall into the category of a maaser ritzicha. However, the Rishonim also do point out, we've mentioned this point previously, that in these cases, although there is no chiv misa, as we just explained, similarly, there will not be a chiv golus. Chiv golus for killing b'shogig is only under very specific situations, and these cases clearly do not fall under the category for which there would be a chiv golus. I've explained previously that actually golus is an opportunity. That golus is an opportunity to get a kapara, and these situations do not warrant that the person should have the right to have that kapara. Continues the Mishnah. Niskavin l'hakoysay al-masnav. There was an intention to hit him on the feet. And obviously, to kill someone by hitting him on the feet, it has to be a very, very serious blow. And what happened instead was, and therefore, this blow was a blow that v'loy hoyaboy k'day l'hamisa al-masnav. It wasn't strong enough that if somebody would absorb such a blow, he would die. However, instead of hitting his feet, what happened was, he hit him on the chest, and obviously the chest does not need such a strong blow to cause death. And it was strong enough to cause death on the heart, and Hitaka died. For Mace Potter, in such a situation, he's Potter, because it wasn't what he intended to do. He intended to hit him on the heart. And such a blow would indeed cause death on the heart. However, and instead of hitting the heart, it hit the chest. And that wasn't strong enough for such a blow, as we've been learning. The chest, the feet require a much stronger blow. However, the mace, but he died anyway. The halacha is that the potter, the killer, would not be executed, because we only give the ritzeach misa is only if he intended to commit a murder, and is the blow that he gave him is a blow that can cause death. Here we don't have such a situation, and therefore he won't be chayiv misa. Similarly, niskamel hakas as agodl. There was an intent to kill an adult, to hit an adult. But this isn't a blow that's strong enough to kill a godl. For halchalay al cotton, but instead of hitting the godl, it hit the cotton, and for a cotton it's a strong enough blow for mace, and the child died. Potter, In such a case, he won't be chayiv misa, because he didn't intend to commit a murder, because the person he hit is not going to get, the person that he intended to hit would not have gotten killed with such a blow. Niskavin, on the other hand, lahakis is a gadol, cotton, he intended to blow, to strike a child, and he was giving him a blow that could kill a cotton. However, instead of hitting the cotton, he struck an adult instead. But this isn't enough of a blow that could kill a gadol, the mace, and the gadol died anyway. Potter, he will not be chayv ritzicha, because although he intended to kill, but he didn't intend to give a makkah that's strong enough to kill such a person. However, says the Mishnah, Aval neskaven l'hakosay al masnaf, he intended to hit him on his feet, and it was such a strong blow that v'hoyba k'day l'hamas al masnaf, that it could kill v'holchalay libay, and instead of hitting the feet, it hit the heart. And as we learned earlier, it's much less of a blow is needed to hit the heart than the feet. So certainly he died from it. The mace, he's chayiv. The skavim lakas is a gadol. On the other hand, if he intended to strike an adult, the hoibak delamas is a gadol, and it was a strong enough blow that it would kill an adult, the olchalei lakotin, and instead of hitting the adult, it hit the child, the mace, and the child dies. Chayiv, the killer is chayiv, because certainly what he did is an act of ritzicha. The Teresh Yisrael explains that the reason the Mishnah had to mention both cases where the halacha will be that it's chayiv is to teach us that in the first case that we just mentioned, the skamal hakoysel mosnov, the chiddush is not really in this case, the chiddush is in the reisha, that in a case where he intended to hit his chest, and instead of hitting the chest, the feet, instead of hitting, and it wasn't strong enough to hit the, to kill him there, but instead it went to the heart and it killed, that still, it is still all one body, still the original intent was not an intent for murder, and that's why the chiddush of the reisha is that he would not be chayiv. On the other hand, in the second case that we just learned, the chiddush is here in the seifa. Because here, even we would think that even though he originally intended to kill an adult, and instead of killing the adult, he killed the child, we would think that still perhaps he should not be chayiv misa. Because as we're going to learn in a moment, we have the opinion of Rav Shimon that said, "Niskavel hara gazeh v'hara gazeh," that if he intended to kill one individual and he instead killed another individual, he's potter. So we think here too that the chiddush is that the Tanakhama does not subscribe to that. And the Rabbanan hold the skavel har gazeh v'har gazeh is actually chayiv. Rav Shimon actually says, as we just explained, I feel in skavel har gazeh v'har gazeh, even if he in any situation where he intended to kill one person and instead of the person that he intended to kill somebody else died, he's always potter. Ask the Gemara of Shimon Ahai, on which case of the Mishnah, to which statement of the Tanakhama is Rav Shimon addressing? Ilam of Sefer, if he's speaking to the Sefer. We just had the case that we just learned in the Sefer, where he intended to strike an adult, and instead of striking an adult, he struck a child. The Tanakhama holds it's chayiv. And now we're saying that Rav Shimon disagrees with him. And Rav Shimon says, he's potter. So the wording of the Mishnah is somewhat difficult. Instead of saying Rav Shimon Oimer, what the Mishnah should have said, says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Paitim Boilei. The Gemara should have said that Tanakhama holds Chayiv, and Rav Shimon holds Potter. Furthermore, Rashi explains, the wording of Rav Shimon, Afilu, what does Rav Shimon mean with the words Afilu if that's Pshat in the Mishnah? Rather, says the Gemara, Areisha. Rav Shimon is referring to the Reisha, where it said in the Reisha, that the Tanakhama holds the skamal argus behem v'argus adam. He intended to hit, to kill an animal, and he killed a person instead. Loiv kacham v'argus Yisrael. When he intended to kill a guy, and he hit, killed a Jew instead. L'nafal v'argus ben kayama. When he intended to kill a nafal, and he killed a ben kayama instead. Then in all these cases, the halach is that he's potter. That's what the Tanakhama says. Those are the only cases where the Tanakhama will hold his potter. On the skamal argus v'argus, in this case where he intended to kill one person, and he killed another person. The Tanakhama's opinion will be that it's chayiv on that of Shimon Omer. Shimon says that he disagrees, and he holds that even in such a circumstance, a feeling skam l'haragazeh, for haragazeh, the halacha will be potter. So Rashi asks the obvious question. It doesn't make a difference if he's speaking to the Reisha or to the Seifa. In both cases, it's turning out that the Tanakhama holds the Skav L'Haragzeh V'Haragzeh is Chayiv, and Rav Shimon holds the Skav L'Haragzeh V'Haragzeh is Potter. So what's the difference that we're trying to say that he's arguing on the Reisha versus arguing on the Seifa? So one teretz that I saw the Rishonim suggest is that we prefer to have a comment made to the Reisha versus a comment made to the Sefer, if at all possible. But Rashi gives a different teretz. Rashi says that although, as we just learned, that the Tanakhama obviously is of the opinion that the Skav L'Haragzeh V'Haragzeh is Chayiv, but we have in our Mishnah, the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, saying many other halachas. In those halachas, if we only had Rav Shimon stating his opinion at the end of the Mishnah, we would perhaps believe that Rav Shimon argues on everything the Tanakhama says in the Mishnah, which is not true. Rav Shimon only disagrees on this one point of Niskav L'Haragzeh V'Haragzeh, and that's why the Gemara points out that and that alone is the source of their disagreement. Furthermore, asked the Rishonim, so if all Rav Shimon is doing is arguing on what the Tanakhama said in the Reisha, so he should have immediately said his opinion in the Reisha. Why did Rav Shimon wait for the end of the Mishnah? So the Rishonim explained that is the derech, that is the way the Tanoim quoted the Mishnayos. They allowed the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, to state their opinion entirely, and only after the Tanakhama finished stating his opinion, then and only then does Rav Shimon come with his opinion where he disagrees with what the Tanakhama said in the Reish. Says the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious as we have been learning. Koi Reuven v'Shimon, if Reuven and Shimon are standing here, V'omer, and he says, the murderer says, Ano l'Reuven k'machavna, my intent is to kill Reuven, l'Shimon loy m'chavna, my intent was not to kill Shimon. That's the case of Niskava l'haragzeh v'haragzeh. Hanapluktayu, that is the subject of the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon. However, asked the Gemara, Omar, what will be the halacha if the murderer said l'chad minayu? He says, I want to kill one of them without specifying exactly which one of them he wants to kill. Mai, what will the halacha be then according to Rav Shimon? Inami, or in a situation, k'sova ruvei, he thought that the person he's killing was Reuven, and actually it wasn't Reuven. He intended to kill this individual whom he killed, but he didn't know, or he had actually a mistake who that individual was. He thought that the individual he was killing was Reuven, but Nimtza Shimon, and it turns out that it was Shimon. What would Rav Shimon say in such a situation? And as Rav Ari Leib Malin explains the Gemara's question is, what is the basis for Rav Shimon in the Mishnah? Is the basis because if Niskaven L'Haragzeh V'Haragzeh is considered an act without any kavanah, and therefore, in a case where there was intent to kill, Rav Shimon will agree that it's chayif. Or perhaps Rav Shimon has another halacha. Besides that, Rav Shimon says clearly in our Mishnah that there has to be an intent to kill, it could well be also that there's another halacha Rav Shimon holds, and that is that Rav Shimon holds you have to have in mind who you're killing, otherwise it won't be considered a maisa ritzicha. My, what does Rav Shimon hold? Toshma, says the Gemara, the Brisa, says the Tanya, Rav Shimon Oimer, Achi Yoimer, he's not considered Ritzeach, Achi Yoimer, until he explicitly says, L'ploide and Miskaven, I have intent to kill this specific individual. Anything less will not be considered a Maisa Ritzicha. And that's why, explains Rabbi Yolei, makes no difference how we explain Rav Shimon's opinion if this is included in the din of Niskavim L'Haragzeh V'Haragzeh. Rav Shimon holds that he's potter. Says the Gemara, my Talmud Rav Shimon, what is the basis for Rav Shimon's ruling? Amakra, because the Pasuk says, V'arav loy v'kamalav, says Rav Shimon that the pasuk is teaching us at Sheis Kavanloi, until he specifically has a mind to kill that specific person. Rabbanan, how do Rabbanan explain this pasuk? Says the Gemara, Amri de Beir Abyanai, they hold that it's referring to a situation prat lezorik evan legoy, that if somebody throws a stone into a group of people that are Jews and kutim, and he kills a Jew, that the person doing such an act will not have been considered that he did a maisa ritzicha. Ask the Gemara, exactly who is this group comprised of that the pasuk, according to Rabbanan, is speaking about that situation? We have 10 people, 9 kutim and 1 Jew. Of course, everybody will agree that he's potter. That's typically the Ruba Kutaninu. We have here a majority of Kutim. We know that we always follow the Raif. Inami, or even says the Gemara, it were a situation of palga, half Jews and half Kutim, that Loch ought to be, that we should be makel. Because we have a rule throughout Halacha, the Suffolk Nefashis Lahakal, that we always go Lahakal. And therefore here, we should also be makel. And because the pasuk says v'tziloi ha'eda, answers the Gemara la'tzricha, it's referring to a situation dika tishi Yisrael v'kuti echad b'neim, there are 9 Jews and 1 kuti. So here it's a situation that the kuti is a kavua, he's in his place, and the halacha is that even though that we have here 9 Jews and 1 kuti, because the kuti is kavua, it's considered called kavua kemechza mechza dami, so it falls back into a situation of like half Jews and half kutim. That Rashi teaches us that the pasuk teaches us v'tzilo eda sofik nefashis lahakel. The Rishonim ask that why does Rashi and the other Rishonim explaining Gemara have to say that the reason sofik nefashis lahakel is because v'tzilo eda? Don't we have a rule that we've learned so many times of amaitzim chaveira all of a raya, that if we can't take somebody's money in a situation of doubt, we certainly shouldn't be able to kill a person in a situation of doubt? So the Rishonim explain that the only time we apply the concept of amaitzim chaveira all of a raya is only regarding dinei mamonos, where the person holding the money is the muchzik. And therefore we say the concept of Amaitzi Mechavera Olav Araya. However, like in our Gemara, where we're speaking about capital cases, there we don't apply the concept of Amaitzi Mechavera Olav Araya. And Rabbi Chanan explains that perhaps this concept of Mukhsik, this concept of Amaitzi Mechavera Olav Araya, is only in a case of a Ben Odom L'Chavera situation. However, in a situation like our Gemara, in a case of murder, we were referring to a situation of Beit Adam L'Mokim, there is no concept that one is considered a Muchzik, and therefore we don't apply the concept of a Mitzvah Mechaveir Olav Araya. So the Gemara explained that we're referring to a situation where there were 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kuti, and somebody dropped a stone into that group, and the Rabbanan is saying that that's what the pasuk is teaching us, that in such a situation he will not be killed or considered ritzayah. But there's a fundamental machloikis between Rashi and the Yad Ramah how to understand this Gemara. Rashi understands this Gemara that there were 9 Jews and 1 kuti there, and the person dropped a stone that could kill into that group. So if we follow Roiv tells us that he probably intended to kill a Jew, because most of the people standing there are Jewish. Teaches us the Gemara that kol kavur kemechza mechza dami, and we don't look at it that way. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Yad Ramah explains the Gemara very differently. The Yad Ramah explains that the Gemara is referring to a situation where there were 9 Yisraelim and 1 kuti, and he dropped the stone there, and somebody died. And we don't know the identity of the person who died. Is the person who died a Yisrael, or is the person who died a Kuti? So if we follow Rav, Rav would tell us that he's a Yisrael, but and therefore the person who died is a Yisrael, and the murderer has killed a Jew, and he's Chayiv Misa. However, Kol Kavul Kamechsa Mechsadami tells us not to follow that approach, and therefore he's not. We don't consider a situation. We're not sure that the victim was a Jew, and since we're not sure that the victim is a Jew, we can't kill the murderer. And as the Shari Yosher explains Rashi's pshat, since when he threw the stone, even though his intention was, because it's 90% Jewish, still, since his he didn't have intention to hit any specific individual, his intention was just to drop it, that's considered a situation of kavua. Furthermore, I saw from the Rabbeinu Peretz, he says, if this is the Gemara that's teaching us the concept which we have in a lot of different areas, that kol kavua kamechza mechzadami, as the Rabbeinu Peretz, our Gemara is referring to a situation of dina nefashis. How do we know we apply the concept of kol kavua kamechza mechzadami to other areas of halacha? For example, we know we apply the concept of kol kavua kamechza mechzadami to the situation where there is in a community 10 butcher shops. 9 are kosher and 1 is treif. And somebody went into a butcher shop and bought meat, and he doesn't recall to which butcher shop he went. We say kol kavua mechza mechzadami, and we don't say that since most of the butcher shops are kosher, he certainly probably bought kosher meat. But that's not a question of dina mominus. So how do we, of dina nefashis? So how are we applying the concept that we learned here today regarding dina nefashis to the situation of dina kashrus? Answer the Rabbeinu Peretz. Just like we apply the concept of roiv in all areas of halacha. And from where do we know the concept of roiv? So he says we know the concept of roiv from dina nefashis, because as we've learned so many times, Bezdin paskins its questions based on roiv. So, and that they paskin even dina nefashis based on roiv. So we could rely on roiv for dina nefashis. We could also rely on that we learn from dina nefashis the halacha of roiv. So too can we learn from dina nefashis the concept of kol kavua kamechza amechza dami. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbanan, the Amri Niskam Lahara Gezeva Hara Gezeh Chayiv. The Rabbanan that hold Niskam Lahara Gezeva Hara Gezeh Chayiv, the Ksibiko the Pasuk says, Vichinotsu Noshim, Vinotvu Isha Hara. If two people, the Pasuk says, Vichinotvu Anoshim, if two people were in a serious battle, Vinotvu Isha Hara, Vyotsu Lyodeho, Vloya Osun, Onish Onish, Kashiyosu Salabala Isha, Vinosun Vifleelim. So the Pasuk is saying, from Rabbi Lazar, explains Rabbi Lazar, that what is the Pasuk referring to? B'matzois shebemisa kos medaber. The Pasuk is referring to a situation where the two parties were trying to kill each other. The Ksiv, and the Pasuk says, im yir osun v'nesata noshvesh tachas nofish. As Rabbi Lazar explains the Pasuk, these two parties are in this very serious battle, trying to kill each other, and a woman, Nebuch, passes by, as we'll see, maybe even a pregnant woman, and she gets killed. So it's neskaven lahara gezer v'hara gezer, and the pasuk is teaching us the nesata nefesh tachas nefesh. It's considered a situation of ritzicha. However, ask the Gemara, El Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon, that says neskaven lahara gezer v'hara gezer, is potter. Ask the Gemara, hi v'nesata nefesh tachas nefesh my avadlei, how will he explain this pasuk? Answer to Gemara, what Reb Shimon will say is that this pasuk is teaching us mumen, that he has to pay monetary compensation. Ukud Rebbe, as Rebbe taught us, the Tanya Rebbe Omer, what is the definition of the pasuk of nesata nefesh takas nefesh? Mumen, that the perpetrator has to pay the value of this woman that got killed. Continues Rebbe in explaining why he says so. At the Oymer moment, does it indeed mean that he has to just pay the value of the person that got killed? Perhaps the person has to be killed for killing this woman. Answers Rebbe, Nema Nesina Lamata. The Torah says, V'nesata Nefesh, Tachas Nefesh. For Nemar, the pasuk that we just read, for Nemar, the pasuk says Nesina Lamala. The pasuk speaks about Venosim Beflilim. This is what I spoke about, where the woman Nebuch miscarried. That the halach is that they have to pay the value of those fetuses. Malahalan there clearly means the value mammon of the fetuses. Afkan mammon here too says Rebbe Nesata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. Doesn't mean that he gets killed for killing someone. Rather, the Nesata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh means that the person who did this will just have to pay the value. Why will he not be considered a Ritzeach? Because it's a situation of Niskavim Lahara Gezeh, Vahara Gezeh, where the halach is Niskavim Lahara Gezeh, Vahara Gezeh is not Chayiv Misa because he's not considered a Ritzeach. Before we go further, we need to say a word of introduction. We've learned many times in our shiurim the concept of kimlei b'drabnei. The concept of kimlei b'drabnei teaches us that if somebody did an aveira for which there are two punishments, we only administer the more serious punishment. Kimlei b'drabnei. The Bei Chizkiya, the opinion that we're just about to learn, takes this concept one step further. And the Tanakh Bei Chizkiya says as follows. Let's say somebody did an Aveira, for which, had he done that Aveira b'mezid, he would be Mechuyiv Misa, the example being Ritzicha, but he didn't do b'mezid. He did it, for example, b'shoigig, where he's not Chayiv Ritzicha. Since he did an Aveira, you know, Bei Chizkiya bases his limud on Psukim, since he did such an Aveira for which there potentially is a Chayiv Misa, the concept of Kimlei b'drabnei is still applicable. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hai the Tanna de Bei Chizkiya, this halacha that we just quoted, that the Tanna de Bei Chizkiya teaches us, Mafkum de Rebbe or Mafkum de Rabbanan, is in disagreement both with what we learned from Rebbe just now, where Rebbe says, when the Skavala Hara Gezeh, for Hara Gezeh, is Chayiv Mammon. Tanna de Bei Chizkiya will hold that under those circumstances, and you're not Chayiv Mammon. And it's also in disagreement with Rabbanan, who hold that Niskavim L'Hara Gezeh V'Hara Gezeh is Chayiv, and the Tanit Bei Chizkiya will hold Niskavim L'Hara Gezeh V'Hara Gezeh is Potter. And the Gemara explains. The Tanit Bei Chizkiya, the Pasuk says, Omaka Behemi Yishalmena, Omaka Odom Yumas. The Sparrow speaks about Maka Odom and Maka Behema. Actually, Rishonim point out that the Pasuk first mentions Maka Behema, and then Maka Odom. Here, the Tanna de Bei Chizkiya is first mentioning Maka Odom, and then Maka Behema. Explain to Rishonim, since we're going to be learning the halachas of Odom from Behema, the Gemara's approach is that it always mentions what we're going to learn first, and then we're going to learn, and then quote, so to speak, who is the teacher. Says the Bei Chizkiya, Ma Mak Behema, just like by Mak Behema, like Chalak Deba, there is no difference when somebody kills an animal if he did it b'shogig or b'mezid. When he did it miskavin la'ena miskavin. When he did it berach, you read the derech aliyah, and what it was a downward motion or upward motion, which we're going to learn in Masech the Makis, does play a role if somebody's chayiv malkis, as chayiv golus. In all of these cases, he will not be potter from mammon. He will not be potter from paying. Rather, l'chayv and mammon, he'll be chayv to pay because it's a situation of mazik. Af mak adam, so too with the halacha when somebody kills a person. Like tachlik boy, there is no difference. It was done ben shoyig lemezid, whether it was done ben miskaven shein miskaven, whether it was done ben derech yirid or derech aliyah. And all these situations, the halacha will be l'chayv and mammon. That he will not be obligated to pay elefatri mammon. Ask the Gemara. The Tanya de Bei Chizkiya spoke about ein miskaven. Ask the Gemara, what does ein miskaven mean? Maish ein miskaven. What did the Tanya de Bei Chizkiya mean when he spoke about ein miskaven? Ilaim ish ein miskaven klal. That's referring to a situation where there was absolutely no intent to kill. Ask the Gemara, hay mishagig. The Tanya de Bei Chizkiya already spoke about a situation of shagig. Why must he repeat ein miskaven? El Pshita, when he spoke of Ein Miskaven, he meant a situation, She'ein Miskaven L'zeh El L'zeh. The case that we've been speaking about so many times, Miskaven L'hara Gezeh, for Hara Gezeh. V'ktani, and in all these situations we learned, L'chayv Mammon, you're not to obligate him to pay, El Patra Mammon. He's not going to be obligated to pay. Now let's think, says the Gemara. Ibak talahu, if in such a situation where neskaven lahara gezeva hara gezer, he's chayiv misa, as the rabbanon teach us. My yitzchak lemistery mammon. Of course, the Tanna Bei Chizkiyah doesn't have to teach us that he'll be potter. Of course, he's potter. It's a classical case of kimlei b'drabimnei. Elalav shmamina. What Tanna Bei Chizkiyah is teaching us is that in such a situation, he's lav bak talu. He's not chayiv misa. Why? Because obviously, the Tanna Bei Chizkiyah is of the opinion that neskam lahara gezer for hara gezer is not mechuyib misa. So we would think, since he's not mechuyib misa, he should be at least chayiv to pay the value of the victim. V'labar mamayna comes to Bei Chizkiyah said that not only is he not chayiv misa, he's also not chayiv mamon. Clearly, what is the Tanna Bei Chizkiyah teaching us? That he's not chayiv misa, which differs than the rabbanon who say the skavel harigazev harigazev is chayiv misa, and it's also in disagreement with the Rebbe who said that in such a situation you'd be chayiv mamon, and the Tanna Bei Chizkiyah says that you're not chayiv mamon either. Very interesting question discussed already by the Rishonim. The Marit discusses it. How do we understand the opinion of the Tanna Bei Chizkiyah? Is it that pshat is that the Tanna Bei Chizkiyah says that the Torah teaches us that in such a situation there's no chayiv mamon at all? That there is, that there's drasha, as we're just learning, that there is no chiv mammon, or there is really an obligation to pay mammon. Just like in every situation, perhaps, of kimle b'drabimnei, it's not that the oinish mammon isn't there, it's just the Torah said that under these circumstances, we don't administer the oinish mammon because we can administer instead the oinish misa. Where would this question be applicable? It's a very relevant question, Rachman al-Tzlan, in a situation as follows. Let's say someone got killed in an accident. And we're learning now that the Tanna Bei Chizkiyah says that if somebody is killed, there is no obligation, that if somebody is killed, even if the person won't get Misa, in our times, certainly in Jewish court, nobody gets Misa, still the halacha will be that the person that insurance company will very likely demand, will give the victim's family a very significant payment from the insurance. And the question comes up, how do we look at the money that this person, that the insurance company, or if not necessarily the insurance company, or that the victim's family is receiving? Do we look at it, as a special payment, or do we look at it as a Yerusha? Where will it be relevant? Because, for example, there are a number of examples the Pais can give where this question would be very, very relevant. One example is that the halacha is that if somebody is typhus, if somebody grabs money that's coming to him, seizes money that's coming to him, so it'll be effective. So if we're saying that really this money is owed, if the family grabs the money, seizes the money, they will be allowed to keep it. If it's not really money that's owed, then he can't seize it. Furthermore, how do we look at this payment that the courts impose, or the insurance company? If we say that it's considered like a Yerusha, so we know, so that money really belongs to the person who died. And therefore the halacha would be that if this person who died owed money to others, the halacha is that before a family, before one's yorshim, collect the Yerusha money, the money that he owed has to be paid. But if we explain that this is a special payment that is given to his family, but it's not considered Yerusha money, then the halacha would be very different, and the halacha would be that they don't have to pay, it's their money, it's not the father's money, and they don't have to pay from that. They don't have to pay off the father's chayvus. So the Chazon Ish says that it's not considered Yerusha money, and they certainly would not have to pay off the chayvus. However, once the Chazon Ish says that, there's now a question. We know, we've discussed also many times, that the halacha is that, we learned the Masechta Bava Basra, for example, that the halacha is that Yashim are only sons. daughters are not considered Yorshim. So now the question would come up, would this money be divided amongst the entire family, or would this money only be divided between the sons who are considered the halachic Yorshim? So the Chazon Ish seems to be saying that it's not considered Yerusha money, and even though normally Yerusha money is divided equally in between the entire, Yerusha money only goes to the sons, this money, it seems from the Chazon Ish, would be divided amongst the entire family. However, I did see that Rav Yaakov Blau, from the Sefer Pesachei Choshen, says that even though he agrees with the Chazon Ish that this is not considered Yerusha money, even though he agrees that it's not considered Yerusha money, he still says that the Torah has given us a formula. The Torah has given us a formula how we divide Yerusha money, how to divide money that's left to a family, even where it's not a situation of a Yerusha. And therefore, even though this money would not be considered Yerusha money, he would agree that this money should be divided only to the sons of the family. Says the Mishnah, Ritzeach Shnesare Bacherim. If a Ritzeach got intermingled with other people who are Chayiv Misa. So it says the Tanakhama, and we don't know who is who. It says the Tanakhama, Kulam Paturim. They're all exempt from capital punishment. Rav Yehuda disagrees, and his opinion is Koin Tznoi Seila Kippa. We take the person into a cell, whereas we're going to learn in the Gemara, all these people are fed barley until their stomachs burst, and so will they die. There's an interesting question in the Paiskim, how to understand Rav Yehuda's view. Do we understand Rabbi Yehuda saying that this is done because it's a punishment for the person who killed? And in fact, many Rishonim point out that our Mishnah specifies a Ritzeach. What our Mishnah, when it speaks about people who are obligated to get capital punishment, speak specifically about a Ritzeach? So the Rishonim explain, because specifically in the case of a Ritzeach, where we want to eliminate murderers from our society, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that Koin Tznoi Seila Kippa. In other cases of capital punishment, where there isn't the same type of concern, even Rabbi Yehuda, say those Rishonim, would agree that we don't put him into a kippa. So as I said, there is a question amongst the Mefarshim, how to understand Rabbi Yehuda's view. Do we understand Rabbi Yehuda's view that this is the punishment, that the Torah prescribed the punishment for a person who we don't know what Misa to give him, what the Torah said is Koin Tznoi Seila Kippa, or it's not pshat that it's a punishment. The Torah gave very clear punishment where we apply the Arba Mises Bezdin, and this is not one of the situations where we applied Arba Mises Bezdin. What the Rabbi Yehuda means that this should be done, he means it should be done because it's a deterrent from people from the breakdown of society. What would be the nafkamina? I saw two nafkaminas in the halacha. One nafkamina in halacha is, would we need a bezdin to paskin that a person should be put into prison? If we say it's a punishment, so a punishment needs a bezdin to paskin that a punishment is in order. But if we say that it's just as a deterrent, then perhaps we don't need a bezdin of Chav Gimel, a bezdin of 23 dayonim. Or, I give another example I saw the Paiskim discuss. Terrible situation. Let's say somebody left a bomb in an area, Rachmana Litzlan, and it caused terrible damage and people died. Would the halacha be that such individuals, the terrorist who's caught, should be put into jail? If it's a punishment, what he did was actually only a grumma. And since it was only a grumma, there wouldn't be a chiyuv misa. If, on the other hand, it's for deterrent, the courts could determine that a deterrent is in order. As I said, it's a machloikis. Remeya Arik says that it's considered a punishment, and that's why Remeya Arik says that you would need a bezdin of Chav Gimel. Other Paiskim, I sort of say for Shalos Tshuvos, Kol Mavasser says that it's not considered a case of Dina Nefashos, and a bezdin of 23 members to determine that the person should be put into this jail would not be required. In fact, I saw that the Rishonim and the Achronim mentioned that there are other areas, the other times that the halacha requires that the person be put into jail. We know, for example, that if Reuven gave a blow to Shimon and Shimon didn't die, so we put the person, the perpetrator, into jail until we find out what will end up being with the victim. Or in a situation where a murderer cannot be sentenced to death because of a technicality, for example, there wasn't a proper hasra, we're going to learn that he's put into the keeper. The Rambam says, as I just mentioned a moment ago, that even though somebody who kills with a groma will not be considered a murderer, and we certainly can't apply Mises Bezdin to such an individual, the halacha still would be that such an individual should be put into the keeper. Says the Mishnah, Kol chayvim miseshnis arv b'zeh b'zeh. People who have been sentenced to death that got intermingled, nedarim b'kala. So we give them the more lenient misa. And the Mishnah gives examples. Neskalim b'nesrafim. You had individuals who were sentenced to skila, and we have individuals who were sentenced to sreifa. So Rav Shimon, according to his opinion, says nedarim b'skila. We're going to give all of them now skila, because he is the opinion, he's of the opinion that sreifa is the more severe punishment. The Chacham on the other hand hold nedarim b'sreifa, because their opinion is that the skila is considered the chamura, the more serious punishment. Amar Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon says, ilo lahaisa sreifa chamura. If it were not that sreifa are considered the more severe punishment, loin nitl abas koin shazinsa. We've learned so many times that the Torah says, obas koin kisechel is nice, eso via himechaleles, be'esh tisoreif. The Torah gives a misa sreifa. So we see that the Torah singled her out for a more serious punishment. So it must be that sreifa is the more serious punishment. Amaloi. So Rabbanan argue, ila haisa skil chamura, if skil were not the most severe punishment, loy nitn lamagadav lavaydus kachavim. We wouldn't give it to somebody who is a magadav, b'marachas Hashem, or worships avaydus zara. We learned this Gemara, it's worth to review. How did Rabbanan respond to Rishimin? The way the Rabbanan respond to Rishimin is by saying that a nara hamarasa, who's a bas Yisrael, or nara hamarasa, who's a bas koyin, will get skila. What does it mean that the Torah singles out the bas koyin? It's referring to a nesua. With a halacha of a bas Yisrael, who's a nesua, is chenek. Here, say the Rabbanan, the Torah singled her out, and she won't just get chenek, she'll get sreifa. Or if we have a situation where the naharogim got mixed up with the nechnokim, people who are cherig and chenek, Rav Shimon Oimer b'sayif, sayif is considered the less severe punishment. The chamar and the chamar hold that chenek is considered the less severe punishment. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah spoke about that the murderer got mixed up with others. Ask the Gemara, Manachem, who are these other people that this murderer got mixed up with? Ilay Machem Ksherim. If we're going to say that the Ksherim, Pshita, obviously they're not executed. Vesu, Baha, where we have people who are totally innocent and a guilty person got mixed up with them, that will Rabbi Yehuda say, Koinson I saw the keeper, that we bring him into the keeper? They're purely innocent individuals here, and we certainly should not put him into jail. Says the Gemara, Simon Bashrak. We have a Ritzach whose psak was not given by Bezdin. That got intermingled with other people who already finalized, the verdict was finalized. Some Rabbanans are of the opinion, we can't complete a verdict in front only with front of him. But since we don't know who is the person now on the question, Hilkach, Pturim. And they go free. Rehuda, We can't just let all of these people go out free. They're all roitzchen, and therefore Yehuda is of the opinion, we put him into kippah. Rish Lakish Amar says, Rish Lakish, if it were a case about people, roitzchen, human beings, we would not, everybody will agree that everybody should go free. Because, very much in line with what we learned before, for Shafta Eidah, for Tzila Eidah, we always try to be lenient. Aval Hacha, our Mishnah says, Rav Shlokas is referring to a situation, for Shar Shlai Nigma Dinoi, with a Shar whose verdict was not finalized, Shinus Abishvam Acherim Shin Nigma Dinoi, that his, with other animals who were finalized to be executed, Kamifki. Rabban and Sabi Kamitsis Balan Kamichsa Shar. We treat the animal as we treat the owner. And therefore, since we don't know which shor, or some rishonim say it's not the question of the shor, we don't know who is the owner of the shor that's on the question, because we don't know the shor, we obviously can't know who his owner is. That's why they're all exempt from skila. Yehuda sava, since it's animals, kainsin oisai lakipa, since in fact we do have here axes who are killers, so we don't want to give them skila, not to make a mistake that people should think that we could pask in a shayla shalai b'fanav, but we do want to eliminate the axe who is a killer, and how do we do that? By kainsin oisai lakipa.